Hi, my name is Dr. Patricia Murugami. Welcome to your next best self. I know you might be wondering, who's this Dr. Patricia Murugami? Well, I'm a leadership catalyst, a leadership coach, an educator on matters to do with life, leadership, love, and legacy. And I hope that as you start to listen in and practice some of the leadership insights we'll be sharing here, you'll begin to see your next best self. How wealthy are you? You know, every year I listen to leaders, professionals, thinking about how they're going to earn more, invest more, make more. And it got me thinking about the idea of wealth. And I think many times we don't get a chance to reflect on what does success actually mean to me and what does being wealthy actually mean. And so today I want to focus on wealth. And I want to talk about dimensions of wealth that we've considered or maybe we haven't considered. If we start with physical wealth, the ability for me to have energy, to wake up, to exercise, to move, to do things, a sense of well-being, that is physical wealth. And physical wealth is something we sometimes take for granted until we fall sick. The physical wealth has to do with our ability to eat, to taste that food, to actually move that body, to rest, to sleep, to hydrate, drink water. And when you think about physical wealth, it's granted to us by God, but also our bodies. Our bodies are a critical responsibility for us. And so when you think about physical wealth, how wealthy are you physically? And you may also be unwell, but you have what is called spiritual wealth. And spiritual wealth has everything to do with our souls. I think we're living in times where people have sometimes forgotten that what makes us human is not just our body. It's actually our soul, our will, our intellect. And so when you think about spiritual wealth, it's our ability to connect with our Maker, our ability to develop our conscience, our ability to have faith and hope. And you know what's so interesting is that you can actually have less physical wealth, but very high spiritual wealth. I remember a friend of mine I visited in hospital, and she had been sick for a long time. And so she was in and out of hospital. And we were so sad because, you know, it was one of those situations which were terminal. And we would go to visit her and she's in pain. You can see she's in pain. But she's the one encouraging us. What are the chances of that? You know, you're going to encourage someone, but she's the one who's more interested in us, more interested in our lives, encouraging us, you know, getting us to see that, you know what, it's not as bad as you think, increasing our faith, praying for us, praying with us. And I found that spiritual wealth is very powerful, that in the face of adversity, spiritual wealth can carry you through challenges and turbulence and adversity and help you actually turn that season of pain into a season of purpose. So spiritual wealth, how do you develop that? You develop a relationship with God. You pray. You question whether your decisions are aligned to your faith. You choose to form your conscience. You also choose to ask for discernment. Discernment. I must talk about discernment in another podcast, but let me just mention something here. That discernment is so critical for leaders in this day and age. Discernment is the ability to look at a situation and delayer it. It's the ability to look at a situation and you're triggered somewhat and you pay attention to that trigger. Have you ever been in a situation where you look at something? I remember the other day, you know, even with a client, with work, you hear something and you think, that's interesting. Oh, that's odd. What does that person actually mean? And then sometimes you dismiss it. And then it comes back louder. And you realize, I didn't actually value the first inklings of being triggered to help me become more discerning. And I found that many times people regret not making some decisions because they did not discern and act on that discernment. But discernment doesn't come from nowhere. You've got to build that conscience, deepen that conscience, choose to be prudent, choose to seek wise counsel. And not everybody is wise and not everyone wants you to be discerning. So, physical wealth, spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth also has to do with seeking forgiveness. And I think that's a big one. The other day I was reading the book 4,000 Weeks. Yeah. And the author talks about the fact that we have about 4,000 weeks in life, assuming an 80-year life. And for many, you've already gone through the first 1,000 weeks, 2,000, and some even 3,000. And if you think about life with that dimension, then we may be carrying a lot of baggage and pain and hanging on to it for dear life. I don't know why. But sometimes we do that because it's part of the process. It's also part of identity, knowingly or unknowingly. And so if you think about forgiveness, it actually helps you navigate your 4,000 weeks of life in a much better way. So ask yourself, how high is your spiritual wealth? And what do you need to do to deepen it and to strengthen it? And then a third kind of wealth is our social wealth, our relational wealth. And I want to separate these two because you could have a lot of social wealth. Politicians may have social wealth. If you're a powerful person, you may have a lot of social wealth. But be very careful to differentiate funds and friends. Social wealth, you may have a lot of funds, followers, people who like your title, people who like your impact. Do not confuse that with relational wealth. Some people are very high on social wealth. Lots of followers, lots of all these people who just are fans. But they are so lonely because they don't have relational wealth. And in this day and age where social media is so big, I'm on multiple platforms with almost 100,000 followers on LinkedIn and our YouTube channel growing from strength to strength and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. It's very easy for me to get confused, but I will not get confused because I've had the chance to be mentored and to mentor and to realize that fans and followers are not necessarily friends. In fact, sometimes fans and followers can be frenemies. Conversation for another day. And so social wealth is your ability to impact and to attract people socially to listen to you, to, you know, engage with you. But that doesn't mean that you end up having an authentic relationship with them. So social wealth is good. I think it's important if you are finding ways to impact many people. It's wonderful if you have an incredible message, product, service that is going to help humanity. I think then social wealth really makes a difference. Of course, be careful that social wealth also happens to people who are not trying to build humanity. They're trying to break it. So maybe an exercise I could ask you is, why don't you audit who you follow on digital and social media? And ask yourself, when I listen to these people, when I watch what they're doing, does it edify, build, or does it break me? And pay attention to your internal dialogue and what it is that happens as a result of your engagement with those people who seem to have high social wealth. But let's now talk about relational wealth. And relational wealth has everything to do with the fact that it is so important to find ways to actually deepen, be vulnerable, be authentic, demask, so that the people who you allow close to you know you stripped of your titles, accolades, and awards. Ask yourself, the people who I relate with, are they relating with me or are they relating with my title? Because a lot of people get that confused. And that, again, is a subject of our YouTube videos. So subscribe, and you will see the conversation unfold. And so when you think about relational wealth, it's your ability to have deep, meaningful friendships, relationships that edify you and the other person, that carry through different seasons, that help you grow in ways that you would not have grown were it not for that person being in your life. Relational wealth, how do you measure that? Ask yourself, how many people know you for who you are without those titles? How many people do you trust no matter what? How many people can you call when things are tough? How many people can call you when things are tough? How many people have seen you cry, troubled, and have helped you walk through that season? How many do you help walk through their troubled and sad seasons? So I want to encourage you, if you have 2-3 genuine friends, you're very wealthy. It's not about the number of friends that you have. And I dare say that I think friends should be in a concentric circle. You need to consider an inner circle and then another circle. And you have then the outer circle, then you have acquaintances, and then you have, you know. But what is important is to think especially about that inner circle. What kind of friend are you to yourself? What kind of friend are you to someone else? In fact, in our Rise Masterclass, we'll be delving deep on the whole idea of relational intelligence and who is it that you are surrounding yourself with. So check, what is your relational wealth? And I think that counts so much more. Are your family members your friends? Not always the case, but I think sometimes that's exactly where we need to start, with those who are closest to us, who sometimes are close to us and very lonely. And we have an opportunity to rebuild those relationships and to choose. Let me guide that. Choose not to be over familiar, because you're so close, you're just over familiar, mannerless. As my teacher would say, don't be mannerless. Don't be over familiar. Because I love you doesn't mean you disrespect me. And I remember we would laugh, but she was onto something right there, that you have to really remember that no matter how close you are, keep the honor for the other person. Relational wealth. So what have we talked about so far? We've talked about physical wealth, spiritual wealth, social wealth, relational wealth. Intellectual wealth, your ability to think, your ability to consider ideas, your ability to actually challenge yourself, your ability to unlearn, your ability to learn. Those are all perspectives of intellectual wealth. Your ability to listen to this podcast and actually put into practice one thing, so that you can become your next best self. Your ability to be intellectually generous. This is something that a lot of people struggle with. They still think that when you know, you're the only one who knows. When you're the smartest person in the room, you're actually the most intellectually wealthy. Absolutely not. Our experience has actually been that the more you share your knowledge, whether you're sharing it voluntarily, generously, freely, paid, whichever way you do it, actually grows you even more. So check, what is your intellectual wealth and what are you doing to build it? Sometimes we get, the other day, one of our coaching clients was telling me, Dr. Pat, after a very crazy day, I have to watch some mindless, brain-dead shows. just so that I can decompress after an intense week. And we laughed about it. But I remember telling her, I think you need to ask yourself whether that's becoming a habit now, that that's all that you watch. And what else can you do to renew your mind and raise your intellectual wealth? Yeah. And so I'm so excited about the people who are signing up for the Rise Masterclass, our global premier leadership masterclass starting in a couple of days. And we have been so inspired by the leaders who are choosing to own their growth. And so without further ado, I want to end there and challenge you to start thinking about these types of wealth before we build on this. And I ask you to think about how to grow even further. May you become your next best self and truly and deeply wealthy in the things and the spaces that matter.